Hello everybody, I'm Gautam Reddy, your resident host of OCD, Obsessive Consumer Disorder, a series that explores the myriad lives of partners, promoters, entrepreneurs, basically the movers and shakers from the creative, film, media, design, event, and relevant industries. We are here to find out what makes their heart tick, and more importantly, why they pursue what they think is a promising career, possibly even solve some of the common problems that we all have together. I am very happy to have with me the founder of The Culinary Lounge, Gopi Krishna. Gopi, it's a pleasure to have you on the show and thank you so much for hosting us here. We've had a couple of conversations offline and I really felt that yours is a story that really warrants to be shared. And so I was looking forward to doing this with you and I really thank you for making the time.
My pleasure. Nice. Thanks for giving another opportunity to share my journey, which I always love to do.
No, I think everybody should know about your story and that's the objective. So when we started out doing OCD, we're basically looking at the lives of creative people, entrepreneurs, people from the marketing fraternity and how they're actually changing the paradigm, you know, in terms of the way people conceive this world. Right, so they're constantly reinventing this world. And Gopi, yours is a sort of like a underdog story when it comes to the industry you're in today. But honestly, your foundation was quite strong. You were very, very comfortable in the career you were in, and there was absolutely no challenge for you there at all. Right, so it's not like you were not an achiever before you got here. But eventually you made this also work.
I was too comfortable, I should say, before getting there.
Yeah, I think very few people think like that, but you're an exception. So you were already an achiever before you got into this line of work, and then and you still made this work. So why did you make the switch, Gopi? What were you thinking back then?
Okay. Before one correction, I wasn't an achiever. I was too comfortable in corporate life. That is for sure. I had everything. Where as a corporate employee, I used to work with Oracle. I used to have everything, a very good salary, an opportunity to settle down in America, and the career was fabulous, and Oracle is a product. So, but still something which always used to bug me, like I love food, I love people, I love books, I love movies. There was a time where even I was working, I used to constantly think about something else. To be very frank, I can tell now. I was a person where I always was a consistent overperforming person. But there was a thing where I know that I'm not contributing that much, where I can do much better. But something is behind.
So your potential you felt is more than what you are actually doing at work every day.
No, the other way, that I felt some other person can do better work what I'm doing there, so I can do better work outside.
One of the striking things about you is the modesty you bring to the table. Everything I say, you're tapering it off with a little bit of
modesty. That is the reality what people take.
I hope that's not an act. I'm sure if I spend more time with you, I'll be able to figure out.
No, that is okay. So that is where I felt I have to do something. Before that, I didn't suddenly jump on. Even though I had a lot of opportunities, for some reason, people always, one thing is I always been a people's person. I love people. I build a lot of relations. I have other habit of dining with strangers. So till date, I have dined almost like 900 plus people, strangers across airports, railway stations, bus stands, even anywhere.
People might be looking at you very awkwardly with the things you keep doing on an everyday basis. Yeah. I don't think I've heard people who said I dined with 900 strangers.
Yeah, this is something even my pace got slowed down. I am not counting all my clients or anyone, but still, I love to meet people.
Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. Trivia.
The weirdest dinner was a Chinese person and me had a lunch at an airport in London. That guy doesn't know a pinch of English, I doesn't know a pinch of Chinese, but we were conversing. And we finished off and that was one of the beautiful meals we had. That is where people used to love and trust me and say that we can do something together. But I know only these four things: book, people, food and movies. I know that if I do something in life,
it has to be around.
It has to be around, because even in nights you should get up, jump out of bed and do. You can only do if it is, passion is very overly used, but I call it as the madness or respect. You should love what you're doing. Nobody is there as an entrepreneur to wake you up and say that you have to do, right? Correct. People, your employees rely on you, your investors rely on you, your customers rely on you. Correct. You should justify all of them. That happens only if you are self-driven. You inherit your energy to your team. Absolutely. You inherit your energies to your customers, market or investors anywhere. That will happen only when you totally believe and love what you're doing. So that is where I already know that I will only do either of things. Luckily, this is, food has always been part of my life.
Gopi, you've said to me once, I remember this vividly, you said food is a universal lubricant. It's a social lubricant, it's a universal lubricant. Yeah. So when you say you have dined with 900 people, now it makes sense that you could talk to somebody over a meal, especially when you didn't even know each other's language, right? So can we go back to the time when you were first, the first impressions of cooking and food, you know, how did this form, how did this shape? And could you bring us through that journey?
I am from a coastal Andhra town called Kakinada, and we were a joint family. At any occasion, under one roof, we used to have around 35 to 50 people is a minimal size where we used to celebrate our festivals and any occasion. Food has always been part of our every occasion. Luckily, touch wood, that everyone at my home loves food, and all my pinnies, pedamas, and my mom really cooks amazing food. And being into coastal and Kakinada coastal region, seafood is very much known to us, right? So,
it's a seafood delicacy. Every other dish on the table is a seafood delicacy.
That is what food always been. And my dad used to sometimes yell at me or my sister or anything, but when there is these festivals, that we used to form a big circle and food used to be in center and food keep passing on for the lunch. Right. At that time, always I see that my dad is always happy, joyful and playing, and even my chachas, pednangarus and everything. Right. That, since childhood, one thing is got registered, that good food make people happy. Yeah. Never I saw a person giving gali to anyone while eating good food. Even it is a Osama bin Laden bhi gali nahi deta khane time pe. Of course, he's not a villain, but he's a different personality. But I'm saying anyone can't think negative when you're having food. So that is what food for me was. Food is, again, as is a lot of food. So I started at the age of 8, getting into kitchen. Maggie was my best friend.
You started cooking Maggie at the age of 8?
Yeah, I love Maggie. Even today, I love Maggie.
All love Maggie.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Different Maggie, forms, different recipes. Yeah.
That is what I do. And slowly, I got, I love non-veg. So, I used to cook chicken curry even at the age of 10. My family used to enjoy my chicken curry. At the age of 12, I used to cook a lot. So that culture of cooking food for someone and enjoying when they're actually eating became a happiness for me. Right. At college, I am very much known for all my friends to I cook on every Sunday and feed a lot of my friends.
So you were probably the best roommate anybody could have.
People used to take me to other rooms just to cook. Wherever I go, the first thing I get into is kitchen, despite of anything. Even to an extent where my dad put my condition when I'm going to Pelishupulu, that no, you don't even tell to your wife that you know cooking. But the first thing I automatically comes off. Because I didn't do anything much. So, kya karte, first thing out of all things is, I love to cook.
My passion is cooking.
So, that is something automatically comes off. So, for me, feeding people and love to host people became a different kind of a happiness for me. I love to host and I like to see people eating happily.
So Gopi, before you got into the culinary lounge, before you got so many people to believe in your idea, before that you had a life, right? That life involved you doing a stable job in a large international enterprise, right? Yeah. And you pursuing a career there, and you and your wife were very comfortable financially, and she was also very comfortable with a career, right? And while you were doing that, you were sampling a startup idea around something you called Feast.
Yes.
Right? So could you just tell us, because when I look back at your career, I see that Feast was probably one of the launch pads, you know, which really sort of made you believe that what I'm doing in life and what I should be doing, my calling, are two different things. Yeah. So could you talk a little bit about Feast and what was happening there, you know, when you started with that idea?
It was an idea. As I said, I know that I want to do something different and I want to start a company or a startup, whatever. Randomly, I told to my mom that let us do an experiment. I'd never said that I'm going to start a startup and all. I said that let us do an experiment. I opened a Facebook page and I said that my wall, not even page. I said, next Sunday, Kakinada delicacies will be fed at my home. The price is $300. Fish, crab, prawns, and other few things, and 300.
All Kakinada delicacies.
All, we are coastal Andhra, so I am, that is something where my mom cooks really good. Sure. I mean, there is a blend again at my home. My dad comes from Rayalaseema, Kadapa, and my mom comes from Kakinada. Okay. So I am lucky
different
to have
cultures.
Both. My include two cultures, both the cultures used to exist, Rayalaseema and coastal Andhra. This is what the pattern I observed. My dad used to less appreciate. It is not like he don't want to, but he got used to that. But my friends, whoever comes, used to love The food, that is what even at schools we do. Our friends' lunch boxes are much yummy than ours, right?
Because it's a different experience.
It is a different experience. It is a different taste. So that made me think that, okay, why can't we do something, an experiment where if more people are enjoying my mom's food, why can't we try to do something? So we have created a small post and said strangers can come, $300 is the pay.
Right.
Monday we have launched and by Saturday almost 9 slots got booked and 10 strangers came to my home. And people were a bit weird because I'm stranger to them and each one is stranger to each other person.
Right.
Politics was the hot topic at that time. So we had that and icebreaker.
And you also had a multicultural experience.
Yes.
And maybe politics was the icebreaker for that.
Politics was
the
icebreaker.
For that table.
Yes, yes. And slowly we moved on to food. Once we opened the lunch, the only topic was food. And while leaving, people appreciated a lot and one girl hugged and said, I really enjoyed the food. My mom cooks like similar like you kind of stuff.
Your mom must have been very, very happy over the moon, right?
Yeah, almost after 25 to 30 years, my mom is getting this such appreciation from someone else. And she got, and that money, the first money I gave to her.
Okay.
So it morally also boasted that I can also do something in life apart from just cooking in the kitchen. After this, any household woman will get into such a phase that they need appreciation. Any human needs appreciation.
Right.
But these guys are always in the kitchen. As in our conversation you're telling, it cooks 1 hour to cook a meal, but it takes 10 minutes where we might be watching something and eating.
Yeah, we don't even respect the food we eat. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is where it started. And first two dinners or lunches, I have to push my mom. From third lunch, my mom automatically used to curate the meal. And come to me and sit. And different kinds of people used to come. There was one guy from, I still remember, there is a trekking club in Hyderabad. He is the founder of the club. He came and he was narrating how he catches snakes, how he takes people to the forest and all. After every dinner, my mom used to have a call with their sisters. Are Nikhil Sai, this is one club used to exist, it seems. As if she knows the entire thing, she used to give the gnan to her sisters. And they all used to get. So the culture almost like known to my family.
Yeah.
And within the guest, also that culture picked up.
So I see two things that you achieved with the curation of that meal. One, I think you validated your idea and you were able to sort of get a bunch of strangers to bond over food.
Yeah.
Right. And second is you won one battle at home. Right. So if not your dad, you at least had your mom on your side.
Yeah, as so, always, moms are.
Yeah. So I think you picked your battle right and it was very well done that you staged it at home. After this, you took feast to a whole different level.
Yeah.
You took it across the city. You found independent creators in the form of chefs, people whose stories were never told.
Yes.
And you got strangers to come and interact with them, right? And have a very nice table of diverse. So I think your passions of food and people that were continuously being met with feast,
yeah.
Right? So one more story you were talking about, which I found very interesting, was the story of the cleaner. Would you like to share with the audience that's watching us?
Definitely. I mean, it is one of the very... it inspires me always that because stereotyping, we got used to stereotyping, like we treat people or we respect people by their professions. So we treat people according to their professions. So we get many calls for feast that I want to apply as a host. That is very regular. Our office used to be very busy. It is like what you are seeing in Uber at the time. We used to be in that way. Like every day we used to get 10-20 calls from hosts saying that we want to be your host. We validate and we do. One call directly, I used to receive maximum calls. We didn't had, being a startup, we didn't had any customer care and all. One call is Amir. He called, he introduced himself to me saying that I'm Amir. I want to meet you. I said, where to meet? He said, Amir, Mahavir Hospital near you come, I'll meet. Then I went, there is a cafe. He said, I'll be in the cafe. I thought he is either the owner or the chef in the cafe.
Sure.
When I went, they called and one guy came with bit. The clothing was matam markalu anniyundi. It was there and he came out and he introduced. And he gave me a chai. We went into the car and I was talking to him in the car. He's a cleaner in the cafe. And he came along with one book. And it has more than almost 150 recipes, original recipes of Amir. And he says that, sab ye pura main kar sakta, main suna ki aap kuch kar rahe. And mere ko ek hi pasand hai ki mere ko cooking aata hai. And I want to become a master chef. And मेरे को समझ में नहीं आ रहा है मेरा ओनर तो किचन में घुसने दे रहा है मेरा करने देते हैं एंड मैं घर में तो मेरा कुछ नहीं है सो कोई समझ में नहीं आ रहा है मैं क्या करना है उसको पेजेस इफ आई एम फ्लिपिंग एवरी रेसिपी इज समथिंग रियली यूनिक ही डिडंट जस्ट डू एनी दाल और एनीथिंग हिज रेसिपी ही मेक्स स्ट्रॉबेरी मटन ही मेक्स कीमा कचोरीज ही मेक्स दाल इन अ वेरी डिफरेंट मैनर राइट लॉट ऑफ इनोवेटिव स्टफ And he is one of the strongest MasterChef contenders even today in from Hyderabad. Her MasterChef auditions ko jata hai. He never give up.
You were able to curate. Where did you do this feast? Because okay. I think you are used to doing it at the chef of chef's house, right?
Yes.
So where did you end up doing this feast?
We generally do a recce. I have to have all the parameters checked before allowing any person to host.
Yeah.
His home was in a very deep lanes and that was not hygiene.
Right.
Even though experience will be good to have, but it is in movies, but in outside you can't have. It is very unhygiene. Sorry. We got a home in Madhapur. One of the feast community was very strong at the time, where I posted that we are looking for some place. One person said I had a place in Madhapur.
Sure.
It is a small home with 80% of garden, 20% is home.
Okay.
So that was as a kitchen and a living.
And this
room.
Was from your feast community.
Community itself.
One of the people offered to
host to. Not for commercials. Okay. They said that I want to support Amir. Me bola kulam bola bola ki this guy has this talent. We want to start. The moment we launched and the first batch, even few journalists came to that feast, and they started writing about him. After that, always Amir's dinners and lunches used to sell like a hotcakes. The guys used to feel a bit jealous because girls used to go and hug him and say thank you. That is what food makes people. You can never imagine an IT girl going to a cafe near Mahavir Hospital and hugging a cleaner. Here it happens because at here he is serving food. The food is so yum and delicious that he is so impressed. I mean, she's so impressed and stuff.
That's a tip. I will remember that.
Yeah, any language. I say I love you. I say sorry only through my food. Agar kisi ko sorry bolna hai, toh main cook karke bhejta hoon. Kisi ko I love you bolna hai, toh bhi main kuch cook karke bhejta hoon. That is my only language. I can convey my emotions to others. So that is what Amir has done.
That's a wonderful story that you were able to give a person who could not express himself.
Yes.
You know, and the people around him didn't recognize him, but there was a whole world waiting to recognize his talent and, you know, appreciate him.
Yeah.
So I think that was a great launchpad for Amir.
Yes, now he's doing, he has to certain extent where he has now his own YouTube channel. And he does, and a lot of people came to know, and he is now doing good in his own world.
In his life, he's financially in a better position.
Yeah, better, slightly better position. We are not boasting that feast has done wonders and miracles in people's life. But we became another stepping stone.
Yeah.
That's it.
If nothing, I think it has given them recognition.
That's
something
it,
which they near and dear were not aware of.
Yes.
You know, the world came and recognized them. So that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So two things I wanted to get a perspective on. One is that you took a big leap from Feast, which was more of an experiment, which got a good traction and you were able to get people excited about it. You took this leap of launching an idea called the Culinary Lounge. There are a lot of these culinary facilities across the country, but it is unique in our city, right? It is never before seen, right? So that is one thing. And second, I think, which is an even bigger challenge, you are not a chef by profession, right?
Yeah.
How are you able to mobilize chefs who are doing very well in the corporate ladder, who are, you know, like Hyatt sort of employed, or, you know, like Marriott employed, or, you know, how are you able to bring these people to believe in your idea? And I know that chefs can be headstrong.
Yeah.
You know, chefs are very headstrong. Like, how are you able to convince them? Because after a point, when I introduced you today, I said you're a combination of passion and logic, right? Because the kind of people you work with, it's not easy. So how are you able to achieve this? So one, about Culinary Lounge and how that switch happened, and two, the talent you work with. I mean, it really, really sort of, I'm enamored by what you're able to do.
See, it is not chefs alone, but it is a very, as I said, I read people a lot. You talk to people, you give people what they want, they will be happy. That is the simple logic. You talk about what they love, you do, or you give them what they want, they'll be happy. Chefs always want recognition. Because they are not known to, you know Taj, you know Park Hyatt, you know even Taj Falaknama.
Correct.
But very rarely, except 5 to 6 chefs in India, like Vikas Khanna or Ranveer Berar, very rarely people know out of this clan, not many people know about the regular chefs, executive chefs. These people, I call them artists behind walls.
Right.
For me, they are artists work behind walls. Khanna aate, and if you have the culture of appreciating chef, you'll call him. Otherwise, you don't even know.
And I think most people can only appreciate them in their thoughts because you never end up seeing the chef.
Yeah. So that is the way I see. So I thought, for me, chef can innovate, chef can educate, chef can entertain, chef can inspire. So chef can do a lot of wonders.
Sure.
That is what I go and talk to chefs when I meet, that you are not just here to cook 10 kgs biryani. your capability is different. I make them rethink about themselves. Are tum kya kar rahe ho, tum kyun sirf khana bana rahe ho? Same thing you can do in a different way. I challenge chefs. That is instinct for me, gut feeling, that you challenge person and you get best out of it. For me, at certain times the dinner, 10 guests were there. Every guest traveled more than 10 countries. The highest country was around, 56 or something, the person, Birad Rajaram. He's a well-traveled person. So many people traveled on the table. For the chef, I told, who is hosting the dinner, Chef Mandar, he used to work with Park, Somajiguda. I told that, if any guest appreciates you and me, biryani bahut achcha hai, I consider that dinner as flop. Anyone who says biryani achcha hai, salan achcha hai, for me dinner is flop. People should not talk about biryanis or salans. People should talk that, wow, the experience is good. Right. I don't know how will you do it. This is my thing. You need to give them.
So you made them think beyond the food.
Mandar,
because food is their, it's their skill.
It is a skill.
They don't need to be taught food. Or they, it's not, that's not challenging for them.
That's not challenge at all. And Mandar is a person who is very adventurous chef. Right. His thought process is very strong. So I challenged him. Not everyone can challenge Mandar, and I'm not even a chef. I'm not even anyone. I'm not Taj. I'm not anyone. Yeah. He loved that. He loved that this kid is challenging me. Yeah. Let me take this up, which is not easy. I told that for guests, I throw the same challenge. That is why they buy almost 10,000 per seat. Minimum 10,000. Because I say that I'll give you something which you never experienced in this last 10 times or whenever you traveled. Yeah. So that challenges will both exit the customers as well as chefs. And every dinner, I will call the chefs and entire team, and I'll make the guests to clap for the entire chefs.
Wow.
Every dinner happens.
This is a ritual. This is mandatory.
Tum koi bhi ho. Even here, people came of celebrities, politicians, everyone. I make the norm, for me, this is a theater for chefs. This is a temple for me. The hero is chef. If you're not appreciating hero, I don't see a reason why you're coming. So you need to know who made the meal for you. You should have that.
Correct. Or curated the experience.
If the chef, sometimes chef doesn't expect, sometimes customer doesn't expect. But I make sure they meet each other. Right. Chef ko jana chahiye whether a banda kitna achcha mere ko khana pasand aaya. The guy should see, okay, this guy is the one who actually made the meal for me. Right. That happiness is from both ends. It is not only for the chef.
It's mutual.
It is mutual. Correct. You see the maker. We are not lucky enough to see who is the denim maker, who is the anyone, right? But chef is someone whom you can see. Actually. Someone who made your daughter's birthday great. Someone who made your wife's anniversary or your parents' anniversary great.
So, Culinary Lounge has such a vast set of experiences, right? And over the years, I think you've been able to, you know, really broaden the horizons of how people bond over food, how they develop experiences and, you know, sort of, you know, absorb them over food, right? So, you've done chef's tables.
Yeah.
Okay, which was the first in Hyderabad. Probably even the five stars hadn't started doing chef's table when you started doing chef's tables. You've done very customized experiences for family, for a group of friends. One of the interesting things you've done is broken the ice between two families which are going to sort of become relatives through a marriage.
Yeah.
And you made that a business model. So now people that want to know each other, two families come here and they cook together and, you know, they bond over that, right? You do work with kids, right? So I think that is one of your passion projects, right? And then you also have a lot of corporate events.
Yeah.
So people come here and they bond, you know, it's just a different experience for corporates.
We teach.
Of all of these things, of all of these ideas which you have curated and made them business models,
mm-hmm.
which is the closest project to your heart?
Kids.
Kids.
Okay. At any point of time, I love to see a kid in the kitchen. Right. For me, kitchen is the most creative space. And for me, kid is the most creative guy in the family, anytime. Their minds are not, we are cluttered.
We are bound. We have contours. They are open.
You write my daughter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I asked my daughter to count. I observed, I thought she will count like this.
Yeah.
She's counting, I didn't write numbers. I put chocolates or anything.
Yeah.
She's counting like this. The pattern is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, some different pattern. Again, she's counting.
Yeah.
They don't have a pattern to follow. Their imagination is different. So for me, kitchen is the most creative and innovative space, and kids are most innovative.
Yeah.
They don't have limitations. And any point of time, I love to teach cooking and baking for the kids, because even today at my family, not everyone enjoys when I wash dishes, when I cook. For me, they see as someone, this guy is so educated, he earns, but why he wants to get into kitchen?
These are the stereotypes.
Right? I want to break since the childhood that even my son, I'll make him
clean the clean. Kitchen.
Yeah, because why should, that is not, kitchen doesn't know gender.
Yeah.
And we unnecessarily create that clutter. I want every kid to understand that to get a food onto the plate,
yeah.
There are a lot of people working. And don't make that as a job of your wife or sister or mom. It is your job also. You can also do that. And you enjoy doing that. That is what kid. I want to do a lot with kids. I didn't even done 0.1%. We till now have trained around 2,500 plus people, our kids in the kitchen. But nothing. That is for me. We didn't even start journey, to be very frank. The journey will start now for me.
I'm sure the chefs also enjoy having the kids with them and they curate experiences for the kids. The chefs must be quite excited to work with kids.
Yeah, chefs is, the kids challenge chefs. When they're learning the kind of questions they ask, today's kids are very smart. They follow MasterChef Australia, they follow every possible chef, the Gary and everyone. They observe what they do and they will ask the chefs here, that chef udhar aisa kiya tha, humne aisa nahi, to my mom does this.
Yeah.
So the parents also are happy, the chefs are happy. And with kids, there is energy. The chefs suppose have 10% of energy working with adults. They'll have 100% energy when they're working with kids.
And I think creative people probably enjoy, you know, because they pick up a lot of things from kids. Another interesting thing that you have achieved, Gopi, is that you were telling me about how you have an international network of chefs, you know, and for a guy, conventional guy from the south of India, working with a large IT enterprise, right? And then he had an idea. From there, how do you make the journey into building a relationship with an international network of celebrity chefs? How did it start and how did your story sort of, how did you bond with these people?
Naturally, I love people,
yeah.
Right? I love people, that's it. I don't, so that automatically what happens, it is mera kismat achha hai ke mereko bahut sara chefs hi milta hai. Of course, in my network, there are chefs, but there are a lot of other people also. But automatically, I think in my back end, people will say, this mad guy is there, chef, why don't you talk? Aisa hota hai. So people connect chefs to me.
Right.
You meet this mad guy in Hyderabad where this guy is trying to do something.
Yeah.
Kisi ko, matlab, they might find these chefs of 30, 40 years, they might find me as a baby who is trying to do something different. So for them it is like a cute, for them it is like a small thing, interesting. Chalo isko milte kya karenge, isko milate kya karenge. So that is how I work with rural chefs,
yeah.
I work with street vendors, I work with home chefs, I work with executive chefs, I work with Michelin stars, I work with master chefs. Everyone have a different approach. And I, no, not with me, their approach is very different.
Right.
I am able to luckily connect to everyone.
Right.
I when I'm working with rural chef, I work with very rural chefs. I sit with her, I speak her language.
Right.
I don't speak language of what I speak to Michelin star.
You speak to about her family, her...
Her language. And I'm a bachelor matter. That if she is from a Telangana rural chef, I have to speak in that Telangana rural chef in a way that she understands the basics. So you ask, don't tell her, don't make her feel inferior. In her world, make her superior. That is what it is.
That's the people skill that you have, that you bring to the table.
I'm trying to have,
yeah.
Of course, I'm still trying. But that is what it is, right? Arena, okay, that is a beauty, as I say.
That's been your relationship with chefs.
Yeah, when that is where I think I am absolutely honest and I say that let us do something. With Michelin stars, I love to challenge them. With executive chefs, I love to challenge. And I am trying to see that, see, my dream is to have a seeding.
Right.
In next 10 years, we'll definitely do. I'll definitely do this. We know who is the fastest bowler. We'll say Waseem Akram or we'll say Javagal Srinath. Or who is the best batsman? We say Sachin Tendulkar. Today, if anyone says who is the best Punjabi chef, we don't have answer. Who is the best Telugu chef? We don't have answer. For us, chef is everyone. But in that world, there are 100 subsets. Desert chefs under, chefs under, lot of people. But seeding never happens. So in next 10 years, I think we are going to achieve in a way that if you want for your dinner to have a best, how to say, Punjabi chef, we will, of course, we will achieve such a way that recognition where, okay, 5,000 people has already dined with the chef and this guy makes amazing Punjabi cuisine. So you can go and...
It's amazing that you're able to inspire people with these kind of thoughts because I'm sure the chefs, when you say that also, they get hooked onto it, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody's thinking like this, that they want to seed me, they want to place me, they want to position me, you know, which gives them so much pride of place and recognition.
These guys, they are too emotional for me. Chefs are too emotional. They're too functional.
Yeah.
I talk to them that, theek hai, tum 20 saal bhi kaam kiya, that guy, see, example I'm saying, Parket Yogi.
Yeah.
Parket executive chef is Yogi.
Yeah.
He's a king in this, in the Parket kingdom, he's a king.
Sure.
Matlab, every corner they know him. Outside Park Hayat, nobody knows except someone who really knows Yogi.
From the,
my thing
from
is,
the
why Yogi can't be known to the city?
Yeah.
They don't have a website. They don't have a portfolio. They, of course, Insta is now picking. But again, Insta is again a different way. But you're not, nobody's branding chefs. Nobody's creating a story for them. Nobody's creating a journey for them. My interest is, how can we do that? Being a very neutral body, we are not a restaurant, right? So, being a neutral body, we can do. Taj or Parquet, they have their own limited, they are corporate. Again, startup, we are like a startup, we can switch anytime. That is the flexibility of being a startup. We don't
but
have
they
rules.
Can't. These large enterprises, it's very difficult
for them.
It is
like a Titanic, we are speedboat.
Correct.
We can turn anytime, but they are like a Titanic ship.
So, now you have a vast network of talent, which is chefs, globally, locally, even at a rural level. Right?
Yes.
Now you also have a brand which has proved its credentials. So you have a proof of concept, you have generated revenue over the years, right? And now you are also identifying what are your areas of passion, right? Now that you have journeyed through this entrepreneurial stint, you're identifying what your areas of passion are. All of this is happening and then COVID happened. So I'm sure just like everybody else, you've had some thoughts around those 6 months or 5 months, right? So what has changed at the Culinary Lounge and what is the future of Culinary Lounge post the pandemic?
So before COVID, we were too mad, too rush. Every time we were thinking about how many corporate events, how many this, that, everything, we were too mad and we were rushing. COVID has put a brakes saying that stop. So everyone paused, right? After lockdown, there is nobody has to do anything. My team was worried. I said, no one will be fired. Itna to lelo. And I said, for investors, I said that we are not shutting down. Be confident. The first mail I have sent is, I'm excited about what is happening, what is going to happen. You might be treating me as mad, but there are different opportunities which are going to open up in hospitality also. So I'm excited, let me work on it. So don't get worried. For the team, I assured that none of you guys will be fired. So we will work.
Right.
So that is assurance I gave.
Right.
Of course, for me, team is like a family. This, you met Sangeeta, Chef Sangeeta. She is there since feast days. She believed in my vision and she is with me. When I opened Culinary Lounge and she even before opening, she came and said that, Gopi, I want to work with you. So that is the kind of trust. A lot of times in a startups where you don't have huge pile of cash, you're running out of cash most of the times. So they understand the pain and we couldn't pay on time many times during COVID. They understood. So a lot of understanding will be there in the time. So in the COVID, what we understood is certain things where we were doing earlier, we won't be exactly doing the same. But certain things we never did earlier, we will be doing that. So one thing we picked up is digitalization of the entire education, what we're actually trying to do with the kids. That was there on the board since long time. We never acted on it because we were too busy offline and we had different plans. So COVID brought a lot of energy in terms of like positive vibe to our team.
Sure.
We it is like a necessity. We have to think different. So the entire team was thinking different. We took pause. We actually thought, we know now what clarity we are actually moving. So a lot of things happened good. And Chef John, who is now the chief culinary officer. We don't have executive chef, that hierarchy. We do a very different hierarchy. So now he is our chief culinary officer. He joined us during COVID time itself. And other chef called Rama, he's a pastry chef, he joined us. And there are a lot of, every day there are 2 to 3 chefs come always to Culinary Lounge to see what. This became an inspiration place for many chefs that we became a positive energy pot kind
they
of
they come here to experiment, they come here to.
Yeah, because 90% of the hospitality industry is shut and bleeding. A lot of depression, chefs are a bit disturbed, industry is disturbed. Of course, we are also disturbed, but what we do here, we are mad team. We innovate in our kitchen, we entertain, we do a lot of shoots, we innovate, we keep thinking different and we keep thinking about how can we do a digitalizing completely culinary launch, what is it, this kids culinary education. And we are thinking, even today we get a lot of inquiries about dinners. So we are very carefully thinking how to do dinners and stuff.
So now through COVID, you've cracked an idea and you want to expand it, which is in the kids' culinary
exactly.
education space and edutainment, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a space, and we wish you all the best with that.
Thank you.
We like to end our segment with a few quick questions, right?
Okay.
Which are just interesting tidbits, you know, that people can pick up on your personality. I'll just ask you a couple of those questions. Don't worry, please be at ease. They will not be uncomfortable. One important tip or learning for all the young and aspiring chefs and people that want to make businesses around the culinary field. What can you share with them?
You need to have a chef beside you who will madly believe you in whatever. If you're not a chef, then you need to have a chef beside you.
Sure.
Without that, this world is different.
So you don't get to see that perspective if you don't have them.
90% of the businesses and restaurants fail because some person
who doesn't understand food
itself, doesn't understand this industry, will see outside as a film industry and hospitality industry are very different from outside. Inside, they are very, very dependent on the SMEs. A techie can't just make another Taj, or techie can't make another thing. So you need to have a very good chef beside you to
who
show
knows
you.
The soul of the industry.
Right. That is very important. A lot of times businesses fail in industry because you
don't have that key person.
Yes.
Right. What could be a meal that your wife would cook for you? Because you seem to be a very hard person to please.
Nobody pleases me at home. Whatever they cook, I'll eat. But they know that if any non-veg is on the table, I love.
So you're saying you're actually easy to please.
Is it? I eat everything.
You enjoy all kinds of
food. I don't know. My benchmark is rock bottom. I eat everything. I love everything. Every meal I eat, I enjoy. There is nothing like no hard to please.
Very nice. If not in this industry, if not in, you know, not with the culinary lounge, or if not working with chefs, what do you think would have been an alternate career? Because I know that you know what you don't want to do. So what could have been a possible alternate career for
Anytime,
you?
Anytime, definitely I'll be in a place where it is people related. Okay. And I know only two things very deep, movies and food. Right. So if not food, then obviously movies.
You would have been in the movie industry. So I can expect to hear from you about a movie you want to make about the world's greatest chefs next.
Maybe madly. I mean, when we do production, when we do content, for me, the content is very important. So I even though I don't write scripts, I sit with script writer. I understand how they're writing. I give my inputs. I go to cinematographer. A lot of my things go. So I have a thing about, I love movies. I watch Korean, I love Japanese movies, a lot of movies.
And at the end of the day, I think curating an experience also is pretty much like putting a movie together, right?
Obviously, yeah.
Especially when you're doing these chef's tables,
yeah.
When you're doing these large board meetings of large listed companies,
yeah.
People coming in, you know, doing a board meeting over food,
yeah.
at the culinary lounge. I mean, these must be so thought through in terms of how do I create that experience, how do I...
That is a healthy pressure. We enjoy taking that pressure because it is a storytelling, right? You need to exactly do what it is required so that you know how to please.
Gopi, it was wonderful talking to you, and I hope that all your dreams for the culinary lounge and for yourself, actually it seems more like a purpose. I think the simple purpose, the soul of what you talk about is very interesting, which is that people in this industry need to recognize the people behind walls. Right? And nobody does that. And I think trying to bring that out as an idea and give them as much exposure and then layer by layer, you know, making it bigger and more interesting for them, I think seems to be the purpose behind what you do.
Thanks. Right? Thank you. Thank you, Gautam. Thanks
for it. It was very nice talking to you. And I think it is very inspiring for somebody who enjoys the smaller things in life to think of them as something which you can make a big sort of a business around, right? Or, you know, reach a lot of people with. And you just enjoyed making Maggi in the kitchen. When it goes back to an 80-year-old boy who loved making his own Maggi. So it was great and very inspiring talking to you.
Thank you.
And I take a lot of things away from you today for my own business. And yeah, so it was awesome. Thank you so
much. Thank you. Thank you, Gautam. Thanks.
And once again, thanks for having us here at the Culinary Lounge. And I'm sure I'll be visiting you every weekend to get a bite and talk to your interesting chefs. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was great catching up with you.
Thank you.
This brings us to the end of another episode of Obsessive Consumer Disorder. We are very grateful to Gopi for hosting us at the Culinary Lounge. We wish him all the best going forward, and we would love to engage with you on many more riveting conversations with some exciting guests. Thank you and have a nice day.